Well, this session is on premarital counseling or effective premarital counseling. And you know, there's a lot of different views about premarital counseling and whether or not to do it, how to do it. Some churches don't really have a program for premarital counseling. Others have couples take a class that they use before people are allowed to use their facilities. Some couples are given an assignment to go speak with someone who's been married for quite a number of years and get some insight from those who have gone before them. Some do some premarital counseling in some form. So even with those wide variety of options, the landscape is pretty varied. And I would like to begin by saying, and I'm really advocating for something here in particular, and that is I am advocating that all of you would have personal mentoring for those who are about ready to get married. And there are several reasons why I am advocating for this. The first one is that personal meetings are beneficial to the mentors and to your church. See, the idea behind this is it's about building a guardrail at the top of a cliff as opposed to a clinic at the bottom. How can we preempt problems rather than deal with them after they already occur? It's about being a resource for the future. Many of those young couples who are about ready to get married will ultimately become your small group leaders. They'll be your Bible study leaders. So this is an opportunity in many ways to do something more than just premarital counseling. It's an opportunity to build leaders within the ministry. And then it's also a chance to encourage mentors. How is it that you get people from the pew or the chairs into the counseling room? And one of the answers to that question is through a mentoring program. If somebody were willing to mentor and experience the taste of positive ministry, then here they would be easier to get into the formal counseling ministry. It's also an opportunity to have personal meetings with the couple that will be a benefit to them. I like to phrase it in the terms of a scholarship. If you were offered a scholarship to a university when you were about ready to head there, what would you say, you know, I'm really not interested in a scholarship. I would like to pay my own way because that would make the education mean so much more to me. And here what we're offering our premarital couples is an opportunity to learn. An opportunity to think about a few things that they're going to face sooner or later, and a chance to give them a scholarship on how to deal with them well. It's also a chance to talk to them personally. And why that would be relevant is because there are some things and some problems and some challenges that maybe one or both have experienced in their life that they're just simply not going to say to those who are in a classroom setting. They might be willing to say something to a person individually, but they're not going to do it in a group setting. And so personal meetings provide that space, that safe location for couples to share what their real concerns are and what some of their challenges might be. It's also an opportunity to expose issues that they didn't know were there. The reality is this: we don't understand the level of our selfishness until it's pushed. And so for many who are single, who are about ready to get married, they're going to learn new areas of selfishness that they didn't realize that they had. And the personal meeting is an opportunity to expose a few of those and deal with them in a safe environment where all of us are working together and seeking to strive and encourage one another. I'd also like to suggest that personal meetings accomplish a couple things that classes simply cannot. Classes are great for content dissemination, but classes aren't very good for personal discipleship or relationship building. Relationship building requires time and energy and a safety that goes along with knowing one another. And for the couples that have this mentoring relationship, they're more likely to speak to their mentors after they are married, experiencing a few challenges than they would to a person who is a stranger to them. So I hope that at least, regardless of whether your church is going to have some other types of classes or other types of ministries, like setting up with an older couple, there would also be a willingness on the church's part and on your part to do personal ministry with those who are about ready to get married. Now, let's assume that you have bought into that. You agree that that's something that we should do. What's the process look like? And I put together, by God's grace, a resource. It's called Tying the Knot. It looks like this, bright yellow as just an eye-catcher resource. And what's in this resource is what I'm going to be talking about today. And it gives a process, a series of steps to walk through with a couple. It's designed not only for mentors, but it's also designed for the couple themselves to read through and to answer questions and evaluate. So let's talk about how to start. I like to begin with an encouraging session, hearing all about their salvation testimony and the reasons why they want to get married. And I often pose a question like this: man, congratulations, I'm excited for you. And I'll turn to the guy and say, you know, there are 3 billion or so women on the planet. Why her? I mean, is that not just like a T-balled softball that just laid there that he can crank that thing out of the ballpark? I'm giving him an opportunity to express all the wonderful things about his fiance that he's so excited about becoming her husband. And then I'll ask her a very similar question. You know, there's 3 billion guys on the planet. I mean, that's a lot of options. So why him? And again, she has the opportunity to express all of the things that she finds wonderful and encouraging and exciting about this person who she has the privilege of marrying. And then I tell them that this process is about helping them have a wonderful 50 years of marriage. I tell them I will care about the wedding ceremony. I want it to be nice for them. I want it to be a wonderful, joyful experience for them. However, I'm going to care more about the 50 years after their ceremony than I'll care about the ceremony itself. And the idea behind that is to emphasize that what we're doing is not just about preparing for a ceremony. We're preparing for a marriage for life. And then I ask them, for each week that we're going to meet together, and there are 8 sessions or 8 chapters in the resource that are simply designed as conversation starters. They don't cover everything that could be covered in those areas, but they provide opportunity to see where there might need to be a time to go deeper and to dig into a particular area of our counselee's life. And so I tell them, here's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to give you a brief introduction to the material that I want you to consider this coming week. And then during the week, I'm going to ask them to read it and to do the exercises that are associated with that material. And then when we come back together the next time, that we'll review the content and the exercises. And so in that way, they get exposed 3 different times to the material that we've put together. And so with that, let's talk about 8 principles that I want every one of my couples to think about before they marry. The first one is that Jesus must be the center of your life. The point is that marriage is not first and foremost about the marriage. Instead, a godly marriage flows from a godly person who is in a right relationship with Christ. See, if both persons don't love Jesus above all else, then they will not build the marriage that God has designed, and they will not experience the full blessings associated with a God-honoring and God-pleasing marriage. So oftentimes, this is a concept that's hard to grasp because, after all, they are in so much love with one another. But I want to suggest it's absolutely essential. And so that would motivate me to ask a series of questions like, what would motivate my counselees to love the Lord with all their heart, soul, and mind? What is it that we could talk about that would motivate them to be passionate about Christ, to love Him above all else? We could talk for a moment about how Jesus died for them, Matthew 27:46, one of the most intense passages in all the Bible. My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus says that Jesus gave them a new identity.